Welcome to another episode of Pitch Perfect, a first-of-its-kind podcast series powered by Barathon, an AI-enabled video roleplay platform. I'm Vishala, your host for this incredible journey where we connect with thought leaders to discuss cutting-edge strategies and innovative best practices of organizations towards building a successful sales-ready team. We are delighted to introduce our guest for today's episode, Mr. Ruthinder Singh Negi, National Head for Human Resources at Bajaj Finance. Ruthinder is a learning and development and human resources professional with more than 20 years of diverse experience across banking, finance, insurance, sales, and petroleum. His expertise lies in crafting relevant learning and development strategies to deliver the strategic needs of the organization, conceptualizing, deploying, and delivering coaching and talent development. Ruthinder is also a certified OD professional from the Indian Institute of Organization Development. In this episode, Mr. Ruthinder Singh will share his insights on enhancing productivity and capability learning programs. Welcome to Pitch Perfect, sir. We're so thrilled to have you on our show.
Thank you so much, Vishala. It's my pleasure to be here.
So then my first question to you is, what makes a successful sales culture according to you?
That's a great question, Vishala. See, the way that I see a great sales culture is a culture in which every sales employee is clear about what he or she has to deliver, what are the skills required to deliver it, is able to understand the gap between the skills that he or she currently has and the skills that he or she needs to develop. And a great sales culture is one where the manager of an employee is able to guide, coach, engage, and help his team member to be able to give the best productivity in the least amount of time. That's the way that I would look at a very successful sales culture.
That's a great answer, sir. I think you highlighted all the important elements of a sales culture. Moving on to my next question, what can be some of the top possible outcomes of a well-designed learning program?
See, it is very important for learning professionals such as me to understand the business and be able to quantify learning outcomes which are relevant and add value to the owner of the P&L, which is potentially a business head. Now, what does a business head seek? The business head seeks that his employees should be productive in the least amount of time, should be able to consistently deliver to the needs of the business, and should be able to take up roles in the future which are supervisory and managerial roles. Hence, whatever outcomes that we define for a learning program should focus on the business need for that particular business, at the same time the people aspect for that particular business. I'll give you an example of what I mean. In a recent program that we launched, we looked at business metric that a person has to be able to deliver to. At the same time, we looked at the competency or the behavioral shift that an employee has to make. And we measured both of these. And we were able to go back to the businesses and say, you know what? Here is what can add value to your people. Here is what is adding value to you as a business head. The business heads hence are clear about that, okay, my people seem to be delivering this particular business outcome. Here are the competencies that have got developed for my people. And hence, my business will sustain and be consistent.
That's a great answer, I think. And thank you for sharing that example. Also, I just wanted to ask a follow-up question on this. Could you also share one of your most memorable learning programs that you have handled?
Yes, in fact, one of the most memorable learning programs is one which we've been able to conceptualize and implement currently within our organization. As we are going through a transformative journey, employees need to be able to deliver to a new reality. Now, managers need to be able to orient themselves to the new reality and need to be able to direct employees on the field on how they need to deliver great results. So, we've crafted a program which essentially where we got our business heads to define what are some of the outcomes that they would like this entire transformative journey to deliver to. And hence, the business heads are clear in their mind that this is how I will be able to measure the success. We were also able to get them to define what are some of the skills that are required for their teams to be able to deliver to this transformation. They were also able to articulate what are some of the barriers to this entire transformation which they foresee. And potentially this journey was crafted in such a manner which had various elements of helping employees right from a manager of managers to an individual contributor in the field be clear about that here is the outcome that I have to deliver. Hence, here are the three or four things that are required to be done as per my role. Here are the three or four skills that I need to develop to be able to deliver to my role. Managers were clear about what is it that they need to be able to review. And of course, training was one aspect of this entire piece. So a learning program is not necessarily a program which may be completely resting on training. Training could be one of the elements, and that's the way that we crafted this program, where development of skills and capabilities was an aspect for people on the field. Development and relooking at the mindset and orientation was a core aspect of the training and development for the supervisory and the manager of managers. And there were various other elements which were able to reward and recognize the right kind of behaviors that people are displaying. There was an opportunity for us to create awareness in a very structured manner across the hierarchy of the sales team. We were able to measure people on two outcomes. One is the business outcome of it, and the second is the behavioral outcome of it. So this has been one of the most memorable learning programs that that I have implemented.
That's really interesting, sir. Thank you so much for sharing. So moving on to my next question, this is something that I would really like to know as well. What is your view on the potential of the blended learning, that is, combining online sales training with traditional sales training methods?
Vishala, I firmly believe that learning has to be democratized. And if I were an employee, then I would want to learn when I want to learn, how I want to learn, what I want to learn, and have the right access to these learning. So if I have to democratize learning, and because, you know, if one looks at it, a lot of us actually go to YouTube and key in how to do this, how to do that, how to cook, or how to use my iPhone better, so on and so forth. So I am I have that intrinsic urge of learning. Now, my firm belief is that if I am able to provide the right content for the people in the right context, at the right time, and accessible to an adult who wants to learn, then people will definitely go ahead and consume it. Due to the pandemic, what the pandemic has helped us to do is it has helped us to accelerate the adoption of learning management systems and online content. So within my organization, the way that we are looking at online learning is to give it to these employees with exactly the principles that I called out earlier. What this enables us to do is to give the right relevant content to people at the right time. So one of the ways that we do it is essentially to run very, very relevant campaigns. For example, if one of the businesses is undergoing a transformative change and change is the flavor of the day at that point in time, then I am able to define and design a specific campaign related to change and able to reach out to hundreds and thousands of employees across that particular business and just make them aware, hey, you know what, that we also have this content in case you would like to learn online. Let me give you another example. A lot of organizations have a mid-year performance review that happens. Now, during a mid-year performance review, a manager would end up giving developmental feedback to his or her employee. And there are a lot of skill gaps that a manager may call out for his or her employee. But it's very difficult for, functions like learning and development to be able to centrally deploy such options to employees at scale. But what if I have a campaign or I'm able to curate about 100 online courses around managing time, managing priorities, influencing, persuading, negotiating, sales, need generation, etc. And what if I am able to couple the feedback that the manager has given to employees during the mid-year review and curate these courses and send it to them as a campaign and say, hey, you may have had your review with your manager and here are some relevant courses that we find for you. Why don't you go ahead and take a look at these? So on the potential of blended learning and combining it with any kind of training, I completely am on board with it, and that's the future.
Right, sir. So I completely agree with you on that as well. Also, moving on to the next question. What are the key metrics you consider while evaluating a successful capability-enhancing learning programs within Bajaj Finance?
So, normally, I would put this question back to the owner of a business and say, you know what? What is the picture of success for this particular initiative? And when I put this question back to a business head, there are two or three things that a business head ends up saying. That one, you know what? I definitely want my core business metric to move. I want my people to be productive, and I want my people to be productive faster. When you ask them, okay, what are some of the people metrics that you would like to see which are important for your business and for your business to be sustainable, then business heads actually go ahead and also talk about a couple of things. For example, some of the business heads that I've spoken to have told me, you know what, number of employees earning incentive is very, very important for us. Because if the number of employees earning incentive is higher, that means that productivity is higher. Secondly, if more employees are earning incentives, and you would agree with me when I say this, that incentives are the lifeblood of a sales business. If more employees are earning incentive, then your attrition, in a way, can also be managed. Now, I'm not saying that attrition is a direct function or directly proportional to the amount of incentive a person is earning, because attrition also has other aspects and elements to it, like environmental factors, my own intrinsic or extrinsic motivation, my manager, etc. But when we put this question back to business heads, they definitely would like to focus on key business metric. They definitely want to focus on the number of people earning incentives for them. They definitely want to focus on how they can bring down attrition. They want to focus on how is the engagement score within my team. So these are certain metric that I would consider as the right and relevant metric, because these are contextual and considered right by the business heads who essentially are my customers. Gone are the times that we used to only look at learning and development and go ahead and share metric around number of man hours or number of learning hours or number of training sessions conducted or the average feedback score, etc. So, Vishala, I firmly believe that the picture of success is something that is defined by your customer. And in this case, the customer or the beneficiary is essentially a business head.
That's a great answer. And I think you highlighted a lot of important points. So, sir, I think previously you were talking about the pandemic effect. And also, I wanted to ask you about how the pandemic affected the learning programs at Bajaj Finance.
We firmly believe that we should never let a pandemic go waste. And that's something that we believed here within our organization. And we said that why don't we look at stripping apart all our processes and the way that we do things, and then look at what are some of the value-added things that we are doing, which are good and which we should continue. What are some of the gray things that we are doing, which we are not sure of whether these are adding value or not? What are some of the stupid things that we are doing, which we should definitely curtail and cut out from our processes? Now, when we started looking at our function from this particular lens, we realized that there was a lot of scope for us to do a lot more in learning and development. I'll give you a case in point. A case in point being, we were somewhere around 95% of mandated learning versus 5% of democratic learning, which is self-paced learning for employees. We firmly believed that we could actually shift this mix and go to 60% of mandated learning and 40% of self-paced learning. So with that intent, we actually went ahead and invested our resources towards finding the right kind of content, strengthening our online content, investing on doing a lot of things like training needs identification and inciting within the organization, and by reducing our dependency on partners across. So, of course, the pandemic also helped us to challenge certain paradigms, which were that learning only happens in a structured environment, in a training room, or a training program can only happen in a particular way. Virtual instructor-led training is not something which is very effective, was a paradigm that got challenged. A lot of people believed that, upcountry geographies, the bandwidth and the internet does not support the virtual instructor-led learning or the online learning initiatives. And a lot of these paradigms actually got challenged. And we were able to make significant headway in reaching a very, very large audience through virtual instructor-led and online content, which we potentially were not reaching out to over the past few years. So this is the way that we've ensured that we don't let the pandemic go to waste.
Right, sir. That's really a positive thing about this. Moving on to my last question for this segment. Can you tell us three ways one can enhance productivity learning programs?
I think the first and foremost point that I would make here is to build a very, very strong shared frame with your customer. That's the business head. The second thing that I would look at in enhancing the productivity is to be able to bring the right insights on the table so that you are able to put a root cause of a core problem statement on the table for the business head to understand. I'll give you an example. In one of my conversations with a particular business head, for whom his business was undergoing a transformation, we asked him this question that what seems to be ailing his business. And his point of view was, you know what, I think communication is a problem. There seems to be a loss of transmission in terms of what we are communicating from our head office right down to the last mile. When we actually came back after doing a diagnosis and our inciting, we were able to put onto the table for the business head saying that, yes, while communication seems to be a part of the problem, however, the real root issue of the problem seems to be that the supervisory layer seems to be doing the same job. How do we solve for that? So, by doing a strong training needs inciting and understanding, one is able to build a very, very strong shared frame. And the third aspect of this entire piece is to be able to define the ownership and accountabilities by asking the customer that what is a picture of success that he or she would like to define for this particular initiative. Because that is when the success metric is defined by the customer, then the customer owns the entire initiative. So I firmly believe that these are the three most important things to help enhance productivity of learning programs, because these all lie in the strategic and the planning phase of learning programs.
That's an incredible answer. I think our listeners would find it very valuable. And thank you so much for sharing that. So I think we have another interesting segment called the underrated, overrated segment. In this, I want you to name one underrated and one overrated characteristic of learning programs.
One of the most underrated characteristic of learning programs is essentially the training needs identification. And I just gave you an example of that, because if the inciting and the root causing is done right, it actually helps you to build a very, very strong shared frame. And one is able to then transfer the ownership and the accountability onto the customer to say, you know what, here's why we are doing it. Here is what is the result that one is expecting. And here is what a picture of success looks like. And hence, here are the actions that we will take together to be able to reach the destination, which is the frame of success. One of the most overrated characteristics of learning program, I believe, is this entire thing about a force fit of solutions which we sometimes give to our customers. For example, in one of my past organizations, when I was working on a certain thing, there was a directive or a mandate saying, you know what, we need to drive managerial skills for the organization. And so we started to reach out to managers and saying, you need to learn how to give feedback, you need to learn how to have a difficult conversation, you need to learn how to manage performance. Now, this was a force fit for a lot of managers because we weren't sure whether it was a problem that they did struggle with or not. So, Vishala, that's my point of view about this particular segment.
Well, that's incredible, sir. I think this brings me to the end of our show. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I had a great time interviewing you. And I think our audience would find your insights very valuable.
Likewise, Vishala, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you again, sir. So that was Mr. Ruthinder Singh Negi. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Pitch Perfect. Hope you found this interesting. The Pitch Perfect podcast series will keep bringing in visionary thought leaders in the hope of creating a community of Salesforce prettiness. If you found this show insightful, please follow us and never miss an episode. We'll be back with another episode. This is your host, Vishala, signing off.